This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, very excited to welcome back to the show. We've had him on before, and he's excellent. Dr. Wilfred Riley is a professor of political science at Kentucky State University, author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. Dr. Riley, how are you today?
Doing pretty well. What about you?
Doing all right. Not too bad. Before I get going here with what I booked you for, the 1619 Project is debuting on Hulu soon. I know that you've written a piece, several pieces on this, and you went back and forth with Nicole Hannah-Jones on this. Worth mentioning, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the 1619 Project, I don't have a personal problem with Nicole Hannah-Jones, but I view it as essentially fake history. Hannah Jones herself has pretty much said this, that she thinks of it as sort of an activist project that's presenting, you know, one view of what America might have been or how we might have become. But the project includes all sort of things that have been panned by professional historians, really right to left. I mean, the famous claim was that the Revolutionary War was fought to preserve slavery. So I think that it's all well and good to criticize perhaps the too jingoistic America of the past, but replacing that with sort of communist drivel is a bad move. So I've been very critical of 1619. I will say most people in actual academia have been very critical of 1619.
Yeah, because I think a lot of it is obviously a bunch of BS. It's also very profitable though too. The 1619 Project creator raked in $1 million last year, a million plus, for college speeches on inequality. The colleges love to hear from her.
Yeah, I mean, well, there are a lot of rich Marxists in the game, and you know, I'm not a hater. I try to avoid being a jealous man. I have a speaking fee myself for anyone that's interested in booking the kid. But yeah, I mean, when you hear about some of these, it is pretty entertaining. I mean, Ibram Kendi, another occasional sparring partner of mine, is known for the quote, capitalism is a wicked system. If you embrace capitalism, you eventually find yourself embracing racism. But, I mean, he embraces a daily speaking fee of $40,000 that usually covers about an hour-long speech, then a Q&A. You've got Nicole Hannah-Jones. I mean, you've got Robin DiAngelo, the white female author of White Fragility. I think that's $20,000 for half an hour. So, yeah, most people on the hard left, however they manage it, have come up with some way to reconcile being a socialist and being really, really rich. To throw one more in there, I mean, Patrice Cullors, the person who began Black Lives Matter, recently drew a lot of attention for buying, am I correct, this with five houses?
Right.
And she bought like a mansion in L.A., another one in Watts, which is still kind of the hood, but then she bought one in Georgia that had like its own helipad. So, you know, apparently the game has been good.
The game is good if you can get in the game. No doubt about it, Dr. Wilfred Riley. One of those people that I wanted to ask you about is Sarah Rayo. And for a long time, you said you thought Sarah Rayo was a parody account, right?
Yep.
And the theme of Sarah Rayo and Regina Jackson's White Women, Everything You Already Know About Your Own Racism and How to Do Better is simple. So you read it, you reviewed it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I actually legit, as I would say, thought this bleep had to be a joke. I mean, so Sayira Rao, she now pronounces this with this strong, you know, Indian declension. I would assume that very probably was Sarah until quite recently, but is an upper middle class Indian American woman, and she runs a business called Race to Dinner, where she and co-founder Regina Jackson literally go to dinner with groups of 10 rich white women and yell at them. They tell them they're racist. They tell them they are, you know, whore-like dependents on their husbands. They say that America is a white supremacist country. This is all just like for real. You can watch videos of this online. You can never not be racist if you're white, so on down the line. And the price for this, I think, is $2,500 per person. It's interesting.
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
It's $2,500 per person. My fiance actually is white and upper middle class. And I think was in the target audience for this once. I'd heard about it before I reviewed the book. But like I said, I thought it was a joke. Or it was some kind of weird Tea Party exercise in suburban masochism. But no, Sayura Rao, you can find her on Wikipedia. Or you can find her on Britannica. This is a real person. I believe she's being offered academic jobs right now. But yeah, she ran for Congress at one point, and she operates this business. And she recently wrote a book with Ms. Jackson called White Women, How to Do Better, I believe is the subtitle. But it's the same sort of thing. Like, America is a white supremacist hellhole. You are automatically a racist. You can never not be racist. The interesting thing about this, if you've ever known a friend that was dealing with substance abuse, is that it reads almost identically to the treatment manual for something like Al-Anon. Like, you must recognize that you or your partner or whatever will never not be a gutter drunk. You can never fix yourself. The only thing to do is admit that this shame will be with you eternally. But the difference is that you're talking about your race or your sex or something like
right,
that.
Right.
So the book goes chapter by chapter about how to admit each one of your flaws as a white woman, how to try to fix your flaws, how to be a better ally to people like Rao, and so on down the line.
And my first question on this is, for $2,500, is the food at least good?
Well, I think you might have to cook it. I'm not sure how it works.
Oh my! You don't even get dinner served for you at $2,500.
Oh, no, they don't. They don't serve you. I mean, how colonial? No, no. Like you, what happens is that you invite your friends to your house for dinner, and then Rao and Jackson yell at you. I mean, no. This is a
so
real
you have
thing.
To feed them basically. In addition to paying $2,500, you got to feed them.
One of the things that's fairly interesting, like as someone who didn't do horribly on the dating scene and who also is an actual social scientist, you have to wonder about the overlap of this with actual masochism.
Yeah.
Like upper class white women who either themselves or their husbands can afford to do this, who are obviously on the political left where you have some kind of latent guilt, are choosing to have this experience. And I would assume there's a pretty substantial overlap of this with some other stuff. Like a lot of people have a desire to feel bad or to be controlled by others. This is one of the weirder examples of it that I've seen, though. But yeah, I mean, it's apparently booming. I think that they're subcontracting right now, actually. So if I were running the business, the eventual goal would be that in addition to Rao and Jackson, because they can't be everywhere, there are a lot of guilty people.
Sure.
There would be trained facilitators, like a Tony Robbins seminar or something, who would go to dinner and abuse you in place of the original abusers.
Yeah, but I'm not paying $2,500 if I don't get the originals, right? Maybe $1,800.
Well, maybe there could probably be discounts. I mean, what if you only want one facilitator? What if you're only bringing five women? I mean, there is a business aspect to it. Like,
sure.
You can go to racetodinner.com. I can't believe I'm promoting this, but you can see exactly what they offer. There are packages. And in response to your original question, which I don't think I answered, my understanding is you cook the dinner or you can have the dinner catered. And what they do is they bring like themselves and the wine. And they tell you how to, no pun intended, and they tell you how to deal with the different kinds of racism that exist inside yourself.
Dr. Wilfred Riley is with me. It's always great to have him on the show. By the way, your Twitter handle, I want to make sure I got it right because there's so many parody accounts out there. But I think this is actually you, which is, well, why don't you tell us? Wildebeest,
well,
right?
I don't think there are any parody accounts of me. I'd probably be tempted to buy the blue check if they were just to get rid of them. But it's at Will, W-I-L, underscore, duh, D-A, underscore, beast, B-E-A-S-T, 630.
All right, I just so followed you. Go ahead, say it again, sorry.
Yeah. It's at Will, duh, beast, 630. That's a very old nickname going back to freestyle hip-hop and that sort of thing. But, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at that handle, and I share a range of actual scientific information along with, you know, banter about the events of the day.
All right, well, I'm going to follow you. Please follow me back so that maybe you can help elevate me to the 1% of Twitter that Ben Shapiro achieved, because that was all you, apparently, as one of the biggest influencers. So bravo. Good job.
Yeah, that was actually, so that was kind of interesting. There's an account that, and by the way, it's amazing how hackable Twitter's algorithms are, apparently. There are all these accounts like Shadow Bird that can tell you if you've been shadow banned by like searching you from another computer. None of it's rocket science, but one of them looks at who the most quoted people are by each celebrity on Twitter, and they have a staff of interns that does it. And I was the second most cited person by Ben Shapiro, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I posted about it and had some dumb joke like, I'm your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. And like Ben Shapiro might retweet that now, you know. So it's that sort of social media game going on. But yeah, I actually will look for followers from your show. So like if 100 people follow this afternoon, I'll probably follow most of them back.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. I like how you phrased this in your piece at the Washington Examiner. And I'll just say Sarah, because I can't pronounce that fancy way of doing it. Sarah Rayo's latest book of grift. And, you know, the business aspect of this, the business of hate and the business of making white people feel guilty just for being white. And I mean, there really is a business model here. It is not an exaggeration.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you said, I mean, and there are a lot of people making money off this. I mean, diversity, equity, and inclusion training. You know, corporations will pay a speaker or a trainer, facilitator, $10,000 minimum to come in and do a couple of hours on a DEI seminar, for example.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. So there are a couple of things there. Like, first of all, it always annoys me as a guy who's on kind of the center right and actually did okay in business to hear that, like, you black conservative guys are grifters. Because if I actually wanted to grift, if I wanted to make money hustling, the obvious choice would be the other side of the aisle. Like, if I were to adopt, like, quote unquote, mainstream civil rights positions and use the consulting Rolodex I have, I mean, it would be back-to-back-to-back speeches about the white man and his problematic works. And yeah, there's a network of people that do that. And again, man-to-man, these are all nice people. I don't have any issue with how people get their money within reason. But I mean, we've mentioned Rao, we've mentioned Jackson, we've mentioned Kendi, we've mentioned D'Angelo, we've mentioned Hannah Jones. We haven't even gotten into the old vets, King and Sharpton and so on, of Sean King. Today, but that all exists, and each of these people owns a good piece of a profitable company. So, I mean, BLM isn't just Patrice Couture's, you know, 1619 Project isn't just Nicole Hannah Jones. This is a substantial sector of society. And again, I mean, the sponsors of the 1619 Project are the New York Times and the Pulitzer Foundation. So it probably wouldn't be an exaggeration to say that $1 in every 10 or $1 in every 20 that's spent in the corporate world goes into some kind of DEI effort, affirmative action, diversity forward, this kind of stuff, so on down the line. And I think that the real issue with it is that it doesn't do anything. The majority of black and white and immigrant Americans are not particularly racist. And there's no evidence that trainings that sort of expose you to the stereotypes of the other groups make you less racist. There's actually a famous Harvard Business Review piece from, I think, 2016 called Why Diversity Training Doesn't Work that just breaks it down. Like, if anything, for males, most people find the trainings annoying. You learn more negatives about other groups than the positives. If anything, people become more bigoted. So we know empirically that none of this stuff does anything. But again, like $1 and 20, let's say, corporations just keep spending money on it.
Sure. I'm overdue for my unconscious bias training that I'm supposed to do. And I think it was due a month ago. But I still can't bring myself to do it because I can't sit there and actually be sober enough to do it. You know what I mean? That's my real problem right now. You're in Kentucky. You understand. It's the bourbon. I need the bourbon for this. I really do.
No, but I mean, like at my school, which I love, I mean, K-State, solid midline state university. We're not too crazy with any of this stuff. Actually, we have an HBCU tradition. So, I mean, most of our leaders are rich black guys, so there's a little less guilt. But I mean, it's the same thing during orientation week everywhere, right? Like at every university, at every business, on every trading floor. I mean, it's these crazy modules. So, and it's also the sexual harassment stuff. Like, I mean, they're formalized trainings here, like teach your sons not to rape. And I don't mean to at all be glib about a serious topic, but I think like most rapists know that rape is bad. I don't think, I don't think that the problem is that men are unaware right. that sexual assault is uncool. I think the problem is that rapists are scumbags.
Right.
So what do you actually do to prevent that? I mean, give mace to women in overnight work roles. I mean, like, there are yeah. things that we know actually cut down on problems. What cuts down? Like, for example, when you look at diversity, there's one thing that I've done every time I've been a boss that cuts down any implicit bias in hiring by about 100%. And that's just have HR take the names off the resumes. So you have no idea whether you're hiring a black guy, white guy, woman, whatever. You just use identifying numeric codes. I don't think I have any prejudices, but if I had a mild prejudice against Caucasians, that would get rid of it. That is the sort of thing that's almost never mentioned during a six-hour DEI training because it's practical and it would render the field of DEI useless.
True. You're right. It would. And it's a profitable field. It's a very profitable field.
Yeah, no, I mean, it legitimately is. Like, we're having some fun bantering about this. But again, I mean, like, this is a core set. So when people, one of the things that's shocking about American race relations is that the race relations themselves have gotten steadily better for about 70 years. We forget how long we've been in a civilized, normal place. Like, segregation ended. And the only region of the country that was fully practicing this, by the way, was the Deep South. Segregation ended, at least de jure, in 1954. It's 2023. So you're talking about 70 years ago. And throughout that entire period, we've seen attitudes about actual racism improve. So right now, the percentage of both whites and blacks that would cheerfully be in an interracial marriage is how it's usually phrased, and as cheerfully as anyone could be in a marriage, but is like 94%, something like that. So there's that reality. But then there's the constant declaration that the country is white supremacist, racist.
Right.
You now see the alt-right, reverse racist. And now it's Stop Asian Hate, where the whites and the blacks are getting it. And it's just sort of, why do people do this stuff? Because there's a reward to doing it. And this actually ties into something else that I've written about, which is the phenomenon of completely fake hate crimes and atrocities, which you see on both the right and the left. I mean, mm-hmm. virtually every high-profile hate incident, certainly all on the left, of the past couple of years, like Jussie Smollett, mass shootings accepted, of course, but like Jussie Smollett, Bubba Wallace, Covington Catholic, Yasmin Saweed, the HBCU bomb threats, which turned out to be one stoner kid living in his parents' house. I mean, all of this stuff turned out not to be real. It was publicized because there are a large number of people that have an intense interest in the idea that we are at one another's throats across race and class lines. But that simply doesn't seem to be the case, which is, of course, a very good thing.
Yeah, it's something we should be celebrating.
Absolutely.
Except there's no money in celebration except for cake. Dr. Wilfred Riley, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. You are by far one of my favorite guests. And when are you writing another book? I mean, Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About is fantastic. When's the next one coming out?
Yeah, so, I mean, thanks for the shout-out there. I've written two books. I've written Hate, Crime, Hoax, and Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. I've actually written a third obscure academic book called The $50 Million Question, which looks at how people assign dollar values to various personal characteristics and is just as exciting as it sounds. But the fourth book, is called Lies Your Liberal Teacher Told You and is due out next summer, probably in July, from Ooh. HarperCollins. It's actually a big book deal, and it's a funny, entertaining book, but it's kind of the response actually to 1619 and all of this. Like, not to ramble on through the musical break, but I mean, there's a famous book called Lies My Teacher Told Me, and it was written in response to kind of that jingoistic education that as a white kid, or for that matter as a northern black kid, you probably did get through like 1960. Like, there were almost no Indians when we discovered, you know, this unexplored wilderness that became America, and this kind of stuff.
Right.
Our honest, sturdy pilgrims who touched not liquor. You know, I mean, the country was founded by pirates like the Lafitte brothers and so on. So, I mean, like, there was a space for people who told, like, the Indian side of Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee and so on. So that book might have been necessary in its time. But again, for 70 years, we've seen the other side in power. So I look at some of the lies that are now part of our curriculum, like slavery made the country rich. Like, no, it didn't. Because of slavery, we had to conquer the South and we lost a million men. There's just no way to argue that the overall equation worked out well. You know, and the cost of the war on poverty and all this other stuff, because not only did we have to make up for the effects of slavery in the black community, we also had to make up for the effects of the Civil War in, like, denuded parts of Appalachia and so on. But anyway, I mean, some of them, one of the chapters talks about the quote-unquote Red Scare. Because, I mean, Hollywood in the USA leans a bit to the right of Stalin, or a bit to the left of Stalin. So there are all these movies with communists as the actual heroes, like Trumbo, that talk about this awful period when we were chasing down artists under the false suspicion that they were communists. And as a political scientist, this has always pissed me off, because there actually is a series of files known as the Venona cables that we have in, like, my academic discipline that list all of the people that were communist spies during the 1950s. And, like, everyone that was accused of being a communist spy, like the Rosenbergs and so on, Trumbo himself, was a communist spy.
Imagine that.
Like, we know, like, the Russians declassified in 1996. We were friends until 2 years ago. They're on the G8. So I talk about this for a chapter. Like, actually, everyone who's telling us that they were being baselessly prosecuted was a spy for the Russians or the Chinese. How do you know? Well, here's them saying it. Where'd you get that from? The Smithsonian Institution. So again, I try to write with a sense of humor, but there is a key point there that, like, these foreign enemies have been lying to us for decades. And hopefully the book conveys some messages like that.
Well, listen, when it's ready, I'd love to host you in Philadelphia for a big book event. And, you know, we'll have lots of people show up and you can sign it for everybody. And let's definitely make that happen.
Yeah, I'd be more. Yeah, email me after this. I'd be more than glad to do that. I'd do a fair amount of travel. I'd fly out there. We figured out a reasonable number of people. I'd sign books in.
All right,
let's do it.
Let's do it. Our book events are always huge. They're huge, so it'll be great. Dr. Wilfred Riley, appreciate it. And yeah, and by the way, Hate Crime Hoax was a fantastic book. I call them. I'm Italian, so I call them fugazis. Hate Crime Fugazis.
Oh yeah,
yeah, but kind of the same thing, right? My friend, always a pleasure. Thank you. And once again, that Twitter handle for us?
It's at @will_the_beast630. And yeah, I'm not Italian. I'm black and Irish. I'm from Chicago. And fugazis is a good description. Like, can you imagine as a grown man, like, sitting in your dorm room weaving a fake noose? I mean, like, it's just lame. And that's my word for a lot of this stuff, like being some rich man's wife who pays $5,000 for someone to scream at you. At any rate, but good talking to you in a normal tone. Have a good one. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!